Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
It's a sad Monday morning. 65 people slaughtered at a funeral in a suspected Boko Haram attack. At least 65 people are dead after the Islamic terrorist group Boko Haram is suspected of opening fire on mourners at a funeral in the northeastern Nigerian state of Borno. Local government chairman Muhammad Bolama said the attack occurred on Saturday. CNN News reports that gunmen murdered 22 people at the funeral and shot dozens of others trying to flee the scene. Boko Haram has not claimed responsibility for the deaths, but Bolama said the attack was revenge for the killing of 11 Boko Haram terrorists by the villagers 2 weeks ago. At least 10 people were injured in the massacre. 8 of them are critically wounded. Reuters reports that Nigeria's President Muhammadu Buhari condemned the attack and ordered the military to find those responsible. Boko Haram has slaughtered Christians in Nigeria by the thousands and hopes to overthrow Nigeria's government and create an Islamic state. The country is split between being majority Muslim in the north and mostly Christian in the south. In 2015, Boko Haram was named by the Institute of Economics and Peace the deadliest terror organization in the world. Boko Haram has also terrorized countless Christians and Muslims in Nigeria, Chad, Niger, and Cameroon. The group regularly raids villages and bombs churches and mosques. Boko Haram is notorious for kidnapping school children, including the 2014 abduction of nearly 300 girls in the town of Chibok in Borno State. The United Nations Refugee Agency said in January that the violence forced 30,000 Nigerians to flee the country in just 2 days. Christians across the region also face attacks from Muslim Fulani herdsmen who raid and burn Christian villages. The Christian persecution watchdog organization Open Doors explains how Christians there face danger and discrimination every day. Here's the quote. In some northern states, increasing numbers of Christians are dressing like Muslims to make their faith less obvious and reduce the chances of attack. Christian young people in these states are frequently denied access to higher education, and Christians have been asked to give up their faith in order to be given work. Christian women and girls are in danger of being abducted and forced to marry. When Christians are displaced by the violence in the region, they face discrimination when government aid is distributed because of their faith. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. 65 are killed, slaughtered in a suspected Boko Haram attack at a funeral. And did you notice that the persecution in Nigeria, where Boko Haram has killed thousands and thousands of Christians, they are our brothers and our sisters. It's happening all over the world, but we wake up once again on a Monday morning to another deadly attack in the state of California at a garlic festival. And at a garlic festival that normally draws about 100,000 people yearly to come with family and friends, suspected killers cut through a fence, opened fire, killing three people and injuring nearly 15 are the numbers that we're receiving today. It's a sad Monday morning to know that not only right here in the United States of America, but around the world, people are being slaughtered, people are being murdered, people are being killed. Some of it is extremely random. Other of it is targeted attacks against particular people groups, whether they are Jewish, whether they are Islamic, whether they are Christians. We have a world in chaos, ladies and gentlemen. The spirit that began in the book of Genesis is still moving throughout the earth today. And we seem to be living day by day. And we never know when that time is going to come, when you're in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now is the most important thing anybody could ever be doing. You don't want to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. There's got to be a supernatural, spiritual, divine GPS, something that is guiding our lives beyond our own senses, our own feelings. We are a people that are living at the time where we must be divinely led by the Holy Spirit and not get so caught up in the back and forth rut that we get ourselves into in life. Well, I've got to go to work tomorrow, and because I've got to pay the bills, I've got to go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I've got to go to work. But when the Holy Spirit comes in and says, no, you're not going there today. You're not going to work today. That's how many people survived the 9/11 attacks in New York City. There was some divine unction on the inside of them that said, not today. You're going to stay home today. And why that should not be the norm for God's people, I don't understand. But you and I must be extremely sensitive to what is going on in the world today. It's not a matter of hiding in fear to try to save our lives. That's not it. But the senseless, useless mass murder that is going on is a curse upon the earth. I want to talk about that today. It is a curse. Now, you and I and all those Christians that are being slaughtered, all those people that are being murdered, we have to ask the question, why isn't the Holy Spirit guiding them out of harm's way? Well, I guess if you live in a nation that is a strong Islamic population that is demonically inspired to kill, I guess your chances are a little bit heavier that you could be in the crosshairs of a targeted attack. But what about you, and what about me, and what about the majority of people that are on, you know, walking on the earth today? Do we not want to be divinely led by the Holy Spirit? And what is this curse? What is this curse? I want to share something with you today out of Genesis chapter 4. I want to dive into this. In Genesis chapter 4, you know that this ministry, if you've been following it for any period of time, is a deliverance ministry with a prophetic edge. And Patricia and I have been laboring for years. Patricia has written a book called Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, and God has just simply gifted us with a prophetic mantle, and we are teaching and preaching the Word of God. But I want to share this with you, something I have never seen before. Nobody has taught this to me personally. I've never heard it preached before, but I found this weekend as I was studying the Word of God, and it goes all the way back to Genesis, and I was in Genesis for the particular purpose that the Bible tells us in Isaiah that the end is revealed from the beginning. If I want to know what's going to happen at the end of the matter, I need to go back to the beginning. If I want to know what's going to happen in the end of time as we know it, I need to go back to the beginning, for the end is revealed from the beginning. So I was looking for something, particularly the mark, because I know that we're moving into a time in the book of Revelation where the mark of the beast and also the mark of God. In Revelation chapter 7, God sets a mark in the foreheads of his people. And so I wanted to know a little bit more about the mark, and I remembered in the story of Cain and Abel that when Cain murdered his brother Abel, that God set a mark upon Cain. And I wanted to refresh my thinking in that, so I went back, and I want to read this to you, and I want you to listen very carefully and see if you catch this. It says in Genesis chapter 4, verse 8, here's the story. Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. Okay, so there's the story. The blood of Abel is crying out to the Lord. Abel was just murdered by Cain. The blood of Abel is crying out from the ground. Listen to that, from the ground. Verse 11 says, and now, here's the response, are thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto you her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. All right, let's stop for just a moment. Did you catch it? Did you catch what was just said? We know that Cain shed innocent blood. That's what we just read. And we know that the earth drank in the blood of the innocent man. And we know that the blood was crying out from the earth. And when the Lord discovered this, in verse 11 again, he said, and now art thou cursed from the earth. The earth has cursed you. You are cursed from the earth. Now watch, here's how the earth responds. Which has opened her mouth, the earth has opened her mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, the earth shall not henceforth yield unto you her strength. It's almost like the earth is a living, breathing organism, isn't it? Almost like there is some kind of an intelligence. You know, when you think about the earth not yielding to a man that would sow into it, that's very interesting because another man, a righteous man, would sow into it and receive a harvest, a crop, produce. But the earth, almost in an intelligent form, in a living, breathing organism of life, has drunk in the blood of the innocent. Now, there is another passage of Scripture concerning the earth, and I want to get to it, and you know what it says. And let me just get into Leviticus. and I want to make sure that I have the correct Scripture here, because it is in the book of Leviticus where the earth vomits out the inhabitants of the earth. Do you all remember that? And let me see if I can get it here. Hopefully, Leviticus 18, 25. Listen to this. In Leviticus chapter 18, I'm going to read in verse 24. Let me just read in verse 24. It says this, "Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you." Now listen to verse 25. "And the land is defiled. Therefore, I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomits out her inhabitants." Let's take a look at that. The land is defiled. And the word land there is the same word for the earth. It's the eretz. It's the eretz. And there's a tremendous amount of definition to it, but it's simply the meaning of the land, the ground, the earth. And God said, "Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land, the eretz, itself vomits out her inhabitants." Now that vomits out in the Hebrew is the ko. And it means to vomit up, to spew out, to disgorge, to vomit up. Now that's very interesting, because when we look a little bit further into this matter, what we find, and I'm going to just search this out very carefully, we find a scripture at the very end of the matter, and it's found, I believe, in the book of Revelation. And let's just take a quick look. Revelation, chapter 11, verse 18. Look at Revelation 11, 18. It says, "The nations were angry, and your wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth." Now, why would God destroy them which destroy the earth? Why does the earth, the land, the ground, refuse to yield increase to Cain? Why does the land itself vomit out the inhabitants because of the defilement and the iniquity in the land? Now, the concerning thing that should be on our hearts and minds as we, you know, seek to answer all these questions is we know that this is a curse. Now, I want to take this and I want to bring it a little bit closer to home for a moment. You know, your body, think about it, your body, my body, is of the earth. It's earthy. That's what we're told in the Bible. The Bible tells us in the New Covenant that we have this treasure of Christ in an earthen vessel. So when our land, our bodies are defiled by iniquity or sin, okay, curses begin to grow up on the inside of us. Now, praise God, before I go any further, I want to lay this foundation. The book of Galatians tells us that Jesus Christ became a curse for us. So there is a greater strength in the shedding of the blood of Jesus, who became a curse, to nullify every other curse. I'm telling you that the blood of Jesus Christ could nullify the curse of Cain. Yes, it can. The curse that Jesus Christ became is the solution and the answer to every other curse that's on man. Now, what we know, if in our lives we have shed innocent blood, maybe through murder, maybe through abortion. Now, we know the land of America is saturated with innocent blood through abortion. But we also know that our prison system is filled with men and women who have shed blood. And you can imagine with the iniquity that's going on in our nation and around the world today, that the land can't stomach it anymore. The land is convulsing. There was innocent blood shed in Nigeria this weekend. 65 innocent people had their blood shed. At a garlic festival in California, three people's blood was shed as they were at a festival. 59 people's innocent blood was shed when they were at a concert in Las Vegas. And 17 students in Florida had their blood shed in a school massacre. And we could go on down the list to all the blood that's being shed. But through abortion, over 80 million little babies have had their blood shed. And when that fetus has tissue and blood, the blood is where the life is. So when you kill that little fetus, you are shedding innocent blood. And with the homosexual agenda in our world today, and with the lesbian agenda in our world today, and with the pornographic issue in our world today, and the running rampant of all the defilements and iniquities being committed in the land, we have to ask ourselves a question. How much longer can the land stomach the iniquitous behavior of the creation? Well, maybe this is why over 1.5 million head of cattle were drowned last spring, just a few months ago, up in Iowa, Nebraska, South Dakota. Why have we seen the intense flooding? Why are people concerned about the massive earthquakes that are beginning to rumble? Why the hurricanes that we've seen a year ago, 2 years ago, that cost billions of dollars, took lives, and destroyed everything that people worked their whole lives to get? What's going on in the land? I mean, there's always been shakings, obviously, because man's sin opened the door to all this tragedy. But Jesus said in the last days there would be a culmination of events and a combination of events that were just, they would be so accelerated, so intensified, it would be like a woman in travail. It wouldn't just be one birth pang and then, you know, that was it for a long, long time. He said, the closer the end came, there would be more and more events taking place until finally they would be happening so fast and the labor pains would become so intense, and that would be the sign of the birthing. So we ask ourselves, what's being birthed? What did Jesus warn was being birthed when he talked about the beginning of sorrows? He said the beginning of sorrows were global events, earthquakes, pestilences, famines, droughts, trouble, war, rumor of war. But he said it would be happening so fast, but these would be the beginning of sorrows, like a woman in travail, but then would come the birth. And what's being birthed, ladies and gentlemen? Well, we know that the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth is where this is all heading. We've talked about it. We know it. The Bible told us about it. But I want to get back to the earth. The earth. If you have a garden in your backyard and you sow seed, what do you expect? If there's good soil, you expect fruit, vegetables. You expect a harvest, a crop. If the earth refused to give produce, if in your life you are seeking to achieve, you have aspiration, you have desire, you want to be successful in your life, but if there is something blocking it, it never works for you, there's always something in the way, there's always something tripping you up, you can't seem to break through and get into the flow of the kingdom life that God has for you. Well, maybe it's not that you're not saved, okay? But maybe it's that now that you believe in Jesus and you got saved, there are some curses that need to be nullified because of your own actions or the bloodline curses to three and four generations back. Now, a lot of people like to ignore the fact that generational bloodline curses can have an effect upon us. But the fact of the matter is the Word of God describes it very clearly, and it's so obvious. I have heart problems. My father had heart problems. My mother had heart problems. I have diabetes. My father had diabetes. My mother had diabetes. I have anger issues. My father had anger issues. My mother had anger. It's there. It's in the bloodline to three and four generations back. And not only that, it's also the Adamic bloodline curses. Now, Jesus came to set the captives free. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. My point here this morning is that your life, your body, your soul, your spirit, that's the land. That's land. That's terra firma. That's earth. That body came out of the earth. And the treasure of Christ is in an earthen vessel. You are an earthen vessel. What have you done in your land? What kind of sin have you committed in your land? We could read the Bible and see the nation of Israel. They're all committing idolatry. They're all, you know, doing crazy stuff, right? And we could look at that and say, look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. But what have you done? What have I done? What sin have we committed? Have we been thieves and robbers? That could bring a curse. Have we killed somebody? That could bring a curse. Have we been sexually perverse? Have we raped somebody? That brings a curse. There are particular sins, according to Scripture, that become iniquity. The difference between sin and iniquity is that sin is something that takes place and we go through, we confess it, we move on. But when sin becomes iniquity, iniquity forms a bondage. Iniquity brings the person into bondage, the nation into bondage, which makes it a lot more difficult to come out of. But praise God for the Lord Jesus Christ, who possesses all power in heaven and earth to break every curse because he became a curse. He took the curse of the whole world upon him. So therefore, through faith in him, he has the power alone to destroy the curse. Allah doesn't have the power. Muhammad doesn't have the power. Buddha doesn't have the power. Confucius doesn't have the power. The pastor doesn't have the power. Jesus alone possesses the power. And when you or I turn to him, not only does he accept us in the brokenness and the condition that we're in, but he begins the work of restoration. And part of the work of the restoration is to undo the curses, to break the bondages, to cast out the demons. Unfortunately, the church today is afraid to talk about this. So you have churches filled with people that are going through life, but they're really not getting set free. They're living with curses on them, bondages on them, demonic spirit operating in areas of the soul realm in them. And yet the church is not teaching. And so we find that people are still enslaved in their thinking, in their spirit. Listen, I want to declare something to you today. I want to declare to you liberty, but true liberty. I don't want to talk about religious liberty. One time in the Bible, the word religion is used, and all it means is take care of the widows, the orphans, and be unspotted from this world. So everything else, religion, I believe is an enemy of Almighty God. I'm talking about a spiritual experience, a spiritual rebirth, a born-again experience that proclaims, if any man or woman be in Christ Jesus, he or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, that's the reality for you and I. That is it. We don't want to be operating in any other spirit than the spirit of liberty and the spirit of freedom that Christ has come to set the captives free. That's it. Folks, until the day that your mind is free from every generational bloodline curse or curse of your own because of your sin, until all the phobias are gone, until all the demons are gone, we're not free. And what the church has a tendency to do is point us heavenward. Well, one day we're going to go to heaven. But God's plan is not just to get you to heaven. God's plan is to get you prepared to be with him for eternity in heaven, right? So what is his preparation? Paul made it very clear that his desire was to present unto Christ a chaste virgin, that he would have a church without spot and wrinkle. And I dare declare, when all the generational bloodline curses and our own sins are forgiven under the blood, those phobias will not be there anymore. Those demons cannot reside there anymore. You say, well, I've confessed my sin. Have you repented? Yes, I've repented. All right, you've confessed your sin. You've turned away from that sin. You say, I'll never do that again. But I still have these issues in my life. I still have anger. I still have whatever the case is. Well, maybe the original sin that you confessed opened a door to a spirit, and now Jesus has to come in to that area that's been confessed. You would never do it again, but he's got to deal with the spirit. Remember, 2/3 of Jesus's ministry on the earth was casting demons out of people. Where Christianity comes up with the idea that Christians can't have demons, I don't know. It's not real. Because what they tell you is, well, if I'm a Christian and the Spirit of God is living on the inside of me, how can a demonic spirit be there? That's impossible. But then my response to that is, well, if Jesus Christ is in you, who is the healer, how could you ever get sick? How could sickness be in you if the healer lives in you? You see, it's not flowing well. Before I go any further, I want to say good morning to my beloved wife, the great joy of my life, Patricia Joy. How are you this morning?
Oh, that sounded so wonderful.
It is. It's true.
It brings great joy to me, too. And I hope all married couples feel the same way. God is good. You know, you were bringing up something very important, and that was the defilement of the earth, and that we are earthen vessels. As we are earthen vessels and consider that fact, that's very profound. Sometimes I think we don't realize that this flesh is exactly that. We forget it's made up of the seven elements of the earth, and we do not recall. But I think the Lord is bringing it back to us for understanding. And one of the verses that I think is very important to consider is the verse that has to do in Romans 19. And you know, Romans 8:19, I'm sorry. And you know, it always interested me, this particular, or these scriptures in Romans 8, starting in 19. And it speaks of it in this way: for the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. So we do wait for the manifestations of the sons of God within each and every one of us. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation, now it's not speaking of creature at this point, but creation, for we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. So what is happening? Why is all nature groaning in travail? And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And so in this whole idea and concept, I recall in Genesis that we were given rulership over the earth, over the animals, over plant life. And we, in that rulership, had failed as the sin came to inundate Eve and Adam. And that whole precious gift fell. And now the earth is crying out for redemption. The earth is crying. The creation is crying out for redemption. And why? Because the issue has been changed. And sin now has been manifesting in the most horrific way. And it has a voice.
Well, amen to that, Patricia. And I was thinking as you were sharing that we all know the story about Abraham and his visitation from the Lord and the angels, and how God revealed to Abraham that he was going down to see what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. And we know that Abraham made intercession for Lot. We've heard this story so many times. But the thing that we always have to keep in mind, we Christians need to have a lot more confidence in this. Abraham was not walking in terror or fear when he was going forward in the eternal purpose of God. Even while Sodom and Gomorrah was being obliterated off the face of the earth, Abraham was moving on with the eternal purpose. And what we need to understand as we are walking in covenant, in God's covenant, as we are moving with him in his eternal purpose, that regardless of what we see going on in this world, the devastations, the destructions, we cannot get into fear. And we never advocate fear. And yet there are so many fearful things coming upon the earth that Jesus said in Luke 21 that men's hearts would melt for fear for what they see coming on the earth. But not you and not me, because we're part of the Abrahamic seed. Number one. And Patricia, isn't it interesting that the end being revealed from the beginning, that at the beginning, the earth would not yield her power to Cain when he planted it. The earth would not. That in the last days in the book of Revelation, the whole earth is being turned upside down. Do you ever notice that? I mean, the water's turning to blood. You're seeing the fires are burning. You're seeing bitter waters coming forward. The whole book of Revelation is about a convulsion of the earth because of man's sin upon it.
Well, it's crying out for the redemption. It's crying out for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's saying, please bring back your rulership over me in a righteous way that I once had in the garden. And now it is under the rulership of evil men and corrupt men. And we have lost our flavor, our favor. And so we need to rise up. We need to become those manifested sons of God. And you know, when you started the program this morning, I heard that wonderful, wonderful voice speaking, and it was yours, and it said this: arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. That is the manifestation of the sons of God, taking its position one more time again to take the earth that is groaning in pain and agony.
Well, amen to that. And you read in the book of Genesis chapter 6, verse 13, and it says, "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Huh. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth."
Oh, my.
And that's why we're looking forward to what? A new heaven and a new earth. Because the earth, the living organism of the earth that God created, some people call her Mother Earth, right? The Indians worship her.
Yes.
So this living organism of the earth that God created has been defiled by the inhabitants to the degree that God destroyed that old earth and he brought in a new earth in the sense of after that flood subsided, there was new territory come forth.
Yes.
And it's going to happen again. But this time the earth is going to burn with fire because God is going to purge it once and for all, a new heaven and a new earth. But Patricia, before we go any further, I want to stay kind of focused on where we're going with this. And you could, I'm going to turn it over to you at this point. But I want to make sure we pray for people today.
Yes.
That are operating under a curse, that if anybody would come to a conclusion or a recognition that their life is just not working and they're doing everything they possibly can. They've confessed their sin. They believe in Jesus. You know, they have desire, ambition. Maybe they just haven't gotten to that curse that the devil said, I have legal right here. And they haven't purposefully gone and dealt with that. You know, you can have a no trespasser sign like you wrote in your book. You could put a sign in front of your house, no trespassing. But guess what, folks? A thief will do. He'll trespass. And just because we have this legal right through the blood of Christ doesn't mean the enemy won't exploit areas if we do not bring our authority and the authority of Christ to bear upon that scene. Go ahead and speak into that, please.
Yes, it is so true. The work of the evil one needs to be recognized. Another thing to consider as to whether or not Christians can have demons is that Paul the Apostle himself said that Satan has come to buffet him. Where? In the flesh. In the flesh. For reasons and purposes that God allowed. And I agree. He allows purposes for us too. It's not just Paul the Apostle. But he buffeted him in the flesh. That's in your body, folks. And that was Paul the Apostle who rose to the call of God in his life in a great and mighty way. And Satan was able to buffet him in his flesh, not just be around and about him to touch his thoughts and his mind, but to buffet him in his flesh. And so it is absolutely possible for the soul realm to contain whatever demonic presence haven't been dealt with. And I just wanted to bring that forth as consideration.
Oh, absolutely. And I guess the point, again, of our conversation today is because we are moving in such an accelerated way. We heard that yesterday in our church service where Sister Darlene just stood up and said, man, all I see is acceleration, acceleration. Things are happening so fast. We're talking about this universal digital identity that is going really, they want it by 2020. That's 5 months away. And, you know, the Bible is being fulfilled. Prophecy is being fulfilled so fast. But yet it says in the book of Revelation, that's exactly what would happen, that everything would come upon the world stage with great speed. And it would come because it's being forced to take place by events that are happening. And that's exactly where everything is going so quickly. And so as we're moving in that direction, the church has to go through an exponential rise and development of deliverance so that we could be standing, so the devil would come to us and, like Jesus, he has no place in me. There's nothing in me that the devil could take any activity over.
You know, in the scripture, Isaiah 61 and 2, what you speak on the radio before the program comes on, that incredible, incredible, or those incredible scriptures, your light has come. It's sometimes we read over and over this word, but we don't really understand what it means. Arise literally means to get up. It means to emerge, to spring up, and come to light. And that's what you mentioned that was spoken up through Darlene in the service. She said what?
Acceleration.
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 Arise, literally to get up, emerge, spring up, and come to light. Acceleration. That's the call.
It is. It's happening so fast. I was having a conversation with a man that I care about very much yesterday. And without going into too much detail, this man has so many gifts inside of him. He's got talent. He could be a dear friend, and yet his body is being destroyed by a disease. Nothing that he's putting his hand to has been prospering. And so we had a conversation yesterday, and this came up because of this Genesis chapter 4, that there was a curse, that Cain did something. He murdered his brother in that case, that brought a curse, that he could sow as much seed as he wanted to, but he wasn't going to get any harvest. He was under a curse. And so when anybody is in that position where you're just doing everything you know to do and nothing's happening, then we were in the book of Haggai yesterday. And God says to the nation of Israel through the prophet Haggai, you brought forth, much, but you only wound up with little. He said that I've made the heavens over you to become a drought, that dried up the dew. I've kept the dew from you. In other words, God was saying nothing is working for you because of your disobedience. Nothing is working for you. Cain cried out to the Lord and said, my punishment is more than I could bear. You see, there's punishment for sin. There are consequences for our actions. And while the world may punish us their way, when we are dealing with God, he disciplines us. He punishes us according to the exact measure of our sins, of our disobedience. Now, praise God for Jesus, right? But Jesus is not there so we could go and sin and just keep claiming Jesus. No, Jesus is there to cleanse, to forgive, to heal, restore, to have hope and faith, and his presence is there to bring us through. But there's, to the measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. It's all getting us to the point of repentance. God looks at the heart of man. Do I take my sin lightly? Or do I, as my heart becomes so tender, that I have wept over my sin? I have mourned over what I have done. I see it for what it is. Brothers and sisters, this is really important. God is after our hearts, you see, because we're his habitation. We are God's house. And he is not going to dwell in a house that has all these issues. He's coming for a house, a church, a bride, a dwelling place without spot and wrinkle, without blemish, a glorious church, a glorious house. He's not going to have broken plumbing in his house. He's not going to have corrupt things in his house. If you're his house, you have to start cooperating with the Holy Spirit, all of us do, to bring us out of the curse. And I want to ask you a question. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with breaking every curse? What's wrong with getting rid of all corruption? Why do we want the corruption? Why do we want the defilement? Why do we want to keep doing what holds the promises and the blessings back? Why would we want that? And particularly as we're moving forward right now, this is a time to get caught up into what God is doing. We have a vision that we presented to the church yesterday. We want to start home fellowships everywhere. We want to begin right here in Northwest Arkansas. We believe that. We want to broadcast into New York City, Manhattan, a wake-up call, a trumpet blast. Come out of her, my people, and convince them the reasons why from a biblical perspective. We have work to do. We want to finish up the preparations for the ark that God has called us to prepare. We have a lot of work to do. And you have a lot of work to do. We cannot do the work that God is calling us to if we're blinded by things we've ignored. It's time to allow a revolution of righteousness to manifest within our lives.
Yes, it's so true, because I believe, again, that word arise and shine, the word means encourage. I believe the word encourages us that the time has come to emerge from the place we've been, and to spring forth from where we were and come to the light, come to the truth, come to the understanding. Arise, body of Christ, stand up, straighten up. In times of struggle, it can feel like you're being kicked while you're down, that nothing is ever straightforward. It's not going to be easy. But when we come out of those times, like those who find situations, confusion in their hearts, it becomes a clear path once we understand that we need to arise and shine. I feel the word also encourages us that through rising and shining, clouded and unclear situations will clear up, which they're doing right now, to give us strategy, to give us direction into straightforward God-guided direction to what he is calling us into. Arise and shine.
Well, amen to that, Patricia. And I want you to do something right now. You're listening to this radio broadcast right now. Just may God just quicken your spirit to awaken, because we're going to do something right now. We're going to pray, and we're going to come against every curse that is in your life, either from your own sin or the sins of your fathers, your forefathers, whatever it is, wherever there is a curse in your life. I believe that the covenant that Yahweh God, our Father, has made was with himself. Listen to me, please. God has not made a covenant with you. He has not made a covenant with me. Listen, according to the new covenant, according to Hebrews, the covenant that God has made was with himself, because he could swear by no greater. God has made a covenant with himself that all who would come to him, God covenanted with himself that he would treat them like they've never sinned before, and that God would bring his favor and blessing into their life, and God would break every curse, every bondage, every work of the devil off of them. Do you want that? Do you want every curse? Maybe you didn't even know you had a curse in your life that came from three or four generations back. Do you want it broken? Well, we're going to pray, Patricia, right now. And when we pray this prayer, because I just feel an unction to do it, to pray that every curse will be destroyed, every bondage will be melted, every spirit of darkness will be cast out. We're going to pray it. You're going to feel God's hand move. You're going to know it by the Spirit of the Lord. And what we do right now, you may have to keep on doing until it's done. But someone's going to get it today. So in the name of Jesus, right now, Patricia, I'm going to ask you to begin to pray that curses will be broken off of every person listening right now to this radio broadcast, or will be listening by archive later.
Well, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word is truth. And it is true that you took upon you all curses on the cross, that we may not be cursed with a curse. And Lord God, your word does not lie. And we are thankful now, in the name of Jesus Christ, that we could reveal to the individuals who have been bound by curses that their curses are now being dropped off from them, that they are being set free, that the chains are being broken. We pray that they will shine from the glory that is in them. We thank you, Lord God, for the glow of the joy of the Lord in us, and we sparkle with the wisdom and intimacy with the Lord formed during the process. May we shine with new zeal and be elevated to excellence in the name of Jesus Christ. May we know and understand the inheritance and glory we are called into, and walk in revelation of who we are in God, who shines through us. And may the Holy Spirit, may he and the kingdom of heaven, may they all shine through others, including ourselves. May our heart cry for this day in and day out. Let this being set free be the exact truth of our life today and forevermore. Arise and shine, body of Christ, and those who are listening, hallelujah. For your light yes. has come, and the glory of the Lord has come upon you. Receive it into your very being. Receive it into your spirit, mind, and body. Take it in, drink it in, for it belongs to you. If you have confessed your sins, if you are sorry for the things you have done, not only against God, but to hurt yourself and to hurt others, it is time for redemption, fully and completely. Let your light shine. Let the glory move now as never before. He is looking and crying out to you, your heavenly Father from heaven itself. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, and the glory must fall. And we are thankful, Lord, for those, the remnant, who will say yes and amen to this plea.
Amen.
In
Father,
Jesus' name.
And yes, in Jesus' name, we continue to pray. Father, your word declares that when you sent your son to this earth, you sent him to set the captives free, that you put every single curse on the body of your son, Jesus, and he became a curse. Father, you did that so that your blessing could go forward to all who come upon his name. Lord, it is not a blessing. Father, it is not a blessing to have demonic spirits, fears, phobias, or troubles of pride or arrogance or carnality or flesh. And yet the whole human race has been cursed with these attributes. But Lord, you told us in your word that if any man or woman be in Christ Jesus, we are new creatures. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You told us that we could put off the old man and put on the new man. Lord, you said these things. And so we right now proclaim your liberty. We proclaim right now the breaking of every curse in every person that is listening right now. We thank you that your finger, Lord Jesus Christ, your righteous finger is pointed at every demonic spirit that is warred against your people. Wherever there has been a curse, the demonic has inhabited that area. So we pray right now, like a cancer that is coming out through an operation, that the surgical hand of God is dismissing every spirit, and the curse is coming under the blood covenant of Jesus. That the blood that Jesus shed is right now destroying the curse of sin. Bloodline sin, generational sin, personal sin. That all iniquity is being undone right now by the hand of God, by the Spirit of the Lord, in the life of those who are tuned in. Lord, I thank you that there will be many that will skip forth like the calves out of the stall. I thank you right now for a divine intelligence and impartation in their inner person right now, that the Spirit of the Lord is rising up, that the new creation species is coming forth, that the old nature is shriveling up and dying and being dismissed. In the name of Jesus, we know there are no magic wands, but Lord, when you walked on the earth, you spoke your word and people were healed. We are speaking your word. We are breaking the curse. We are breaking every curse. We rebuke every curse in the earth of the people, that their land is now undefiled. It is cleansed and washed. There is a new heaven and a new earth on the inside of them. Their new heaven is their spiritual life. Their new earth is everything that is in them. Their land is undefiled. We have about a minute, Patricia. If there's anything else you want to pray, finish it up right now.
Yes, I want to encourage again for those who are listening to truly arise and shine away from all the hardships and burdens of past seasons and grow excellence and authority in God as we all continue to run the race of our lives. Please hear the cry of God's voice.
Amen to that. Amen to that. What I'm going to just encourage you to do right now, if these prayers of this hour has been useful to you, right now on Omega Radio, that's www.omegaradio.org, there is a roundtable discussion where Patricia Joy is leading a group of men and women into a time of discussing a particular demonic spirit. You're not going to want to miss it. It's going to be a great roundtable discussion that's happening right now at omegaradio.org. By the way, the Omega Radio Network is up and running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Greatest messages you're going to hear. It's a combination of all kinds. Patricia, thank you for joining me on the air today. Right now, omegaradio.org, the Deliverance Roundtable discussion is taking place. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing, right here on The Watchman. Shalom.